Blog Talk Radio.
Convicted of burglary,
sex, child abuse, and murder. He's a white supremacist. There were 89 of them that were convicted. One died, and the other one is a fugitive, so it's 91. They're high-ranking members, are associates of the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas, the Aryan Circle, the Irish Mob, and the Dirty White Boys and the White Knights. They received a total of one. They had 736 crimes altogether, and they received a combination of 1,070 years in prison, according to the Department of Justice. And this happened on August 14, 2017, that they were convicted. These are some very violent white supremacists. They really hate blacks and anyone that is non-white, particularly black people. All right, okay, Pastor Greer. Now,
yes.
We're going to talk about what's happening not just in America, but over in Libya. Now, I don't know how many of you listen are familiar with this. The slave trade in Libya. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Forgive me if I'm not. I'm sure someone will correct me. Slavery is still going on. Now, Pastor Greer, I know your work is, you were part of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, am I correct? Which was started by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
That is correct.
Yes, sir. So, of course, you're carrying on the dream Dr. King had, which is wonderful. I think it's wonderful what you're doing. But what is your point of view about here in 2017, Africans being sold into slavery when they try to leave other parts of the country or continent here in the world or in Africa, and they're trying to get to Europe, being captured and sold into slavery? Well, what is your point of view about that?
Well, let me offer at least three pieces of correction and then answer your question very directly.
Okay.
So Libya is the correct pronunciation, is actually in the Mediterranean, and it's closer to North Africa rather than South Africa. And what has happened was, when we say immigrants, they're actually migrants who left a migration crisis.
Migration.
And because, they're migrants, meaning that they fled from one country and hoping to get back to Europe. The Libyans, about 700,000 of them left and crossed the Mediterranean Sea, and they crossed waters and marshes and that sort of thing to get to Libya, where they were hoping that they could, you know, have some protection against a lot of the things that were going on. They were seeking protection there. And what happened was that smugglers detained them and started taking them into bondage, which means selling them off in various detention centers around the country. So Libya, my experience with Libya and a lot of the horrific reports of migrants being sold as slaves is more of a new phenomenon. Like, most people really haven't really heard too much about it here in our country until over the course of the last maybe 7 weeks. And, you know, what we do know is with the unrest in that country, there's a lot of issues, and the issues have to really come full circle to whereas we see the dissolvement of human rights around the world. A lot of things that we as blacks or African Americans, whatever you choose to call us, have dealt with historically, you see a lot of those similar traits in some of these countries, like, for instance, slavery. So it's not new to us, but what we are doing is we are learning about it and seeing it firsthand, because now we're seeing it through television and social media and means that we've never had before to communicate.
Yes, Mr. David Trotman II is who tuned me into this that happened, happened last 2 or 3 weeks. I was not aware of all this. I usually stick to things that have to do with black Americans here in the United States, but I had to do a show on this because I understand that they have a their something about the president there had stepped down. Am I correct? He died or something. Let me get it straight.
I can help you. I can help you.
Go ahead.
Okay, let me help you. So what happened was Muammar Gaddafi, who basically was considered a terrorist, was sanctioned, and this goes back all the way back to the Obama administration. Now, Muammar was not considered a friendly, and we really went in hard on Muammar, but even in the United States and a lot of the G8 nations, the big nations going after Muammar because he harbored terrorists, according to established reports. That Libya was an area where terrorists can go, and there were a lot of incidents of terrorism, especially with some. There were some things that we heard about with Navy ships that were being blown up in the Gulf, in the Gulf over there, and according to the records, it came back to Muammar Gaddafi. So he was literally overthrown over the course of a couple of years, and the end happened very quickly and bloodily when a lot of the locals came and a militia was formed and they pretty much beat him to death. And that was on TV. It happened overnight, basically. But the incident was a long-term situation. And yes, Muammar Gaddafi is the president that you're referring to. And he had, regardless of whatever he was or what, and I just want to say this real quick, basically he had a stronghold over that territory. So when he was removed, now we saw a flood of different issues going on, and it's twice as bad than it was when he was in place.
Yes, that's what I am told. And this did occur during the first black two-term president here in the United States of America, President Barack Obama. So the black slavery in Libya, they're being sold for $400, $600, $800. It is sickening. It's really sickening. I understand that the country is somewhat unstable because of what happened, and they're worse off than what they were when they had the former president who was beat to death in the country. But there are also women who are being sold. It's not just men. Women, African women, are being sold. They're also being traded and sold into slavery, raped, abused, murdered. From the rapes, if they're pregnant, the children become slaves. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's
horrible.
Yeah, it is, you know, and the emphasis is that, yes, it's not just men, it's women and children as well. So, I mean, you see a lot of problems with the migrants who are even there. And, you know, it's something that, again, has been going on, but we are hearing about it on a mass scale at this point.
Yes, I've been hurt. I'm learning about this over a period of 2 or 3 weeks. And thank you for correcting me. I very much needed to be corrected.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say there are over 45 million people worldwide who are victims of modern slavery. Calling Yahoo.com is where I have my information here. Yahoo is saying it's forced labor, human trafficking, all sorts of things. And this is also from the September report for human rights, from the human rights group Walk Free Foundation. And the person who I'm getting the information is Sarah Ruth Grossman. She's from the HuffPost or the Huffington Post. It's November 27, 2017. And this is her information. This is her story on Yahoo that I'm getting. Receiving my information from, and of course, Mr. David Trotman, the second. So,
okay.
It's just human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Human trafficking is horrible. It's horrible, and it's sickening. And it's sickening to know that with all black people have went through in this country, then over into Africa, least in North Africa, slavery is still going on, and it's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's horrible that this is happening. After all we as a race of people have went through, looks like it seems like once my mother's history repeats itself, sadly, my mother is right. And I really wish she had been wrong. They sell them from everyone. They're selling these people for farm work. Not just farm factory work, building railroads and things like this is like it's a repeat of everything that black people have always been through. Have slave auctions. Even have slave auctions. It's horrible.
Right.
And human trafficking is horrible too. It's horrible. They're smuggling the immigrants, for churros, just from Mr. Troutman, just no longer but has a gentleman by the name of the tourist. Is fighting abuse and smuggling of immigrants, notably by increasing avenues for legal migration. Legal mm-hmm. migration, but to be legal to migrate within mm-hmm. those countries. Mm-hmm. Making migration and enhancing international cooperation, cracking down on smugglers and traffickers. According to the Human Rights Watch, people should be outraged, but they should not hold their breath on anything that's really going to happen for this illness, and that's very disheartening and disturbing. Very disturbing. Now, yeah. We here over in the United States are fighting our own little civil war. Like I just got to telling you all about the Aryan Nights. I know I'm going from one topic to another topic. But Pastor Greer, not just here in the United States of America. It seems like a global problem that's going on. It doesn't seem like it shows any way of slowing down because my ancestors were slaves. Mm-hmm. My great-granddaddy was a slave.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we thought we had major problems over here with the prisons and the killing of the police, but it gets worse.
Well, you know, if I can, you know, really respond, and Sister Angela, feel free to call me Bishop Greer.
Bishop Greer.
I'm just telling. Yeah, no problem. I am wanting to really. I think we have to start connecting the dots. And one of the things that Freedom First International and a lot of affiliate organizations and affiliate people are saying, associates, I should say, is that, you know, we really have to start looking at our global struggle and connect the dots. African Americans have to connect the dots with our people in the Caribbean. We have to connect the dots in the African countries. We have in the African nations. We have to connect the dots in, you know, Canada to the people who left America, the slaves who left America and went up and settled in Halifax and Ontario and some of those areas. I mean, we really have to start connecting the dots because we can see, if we can look at a global snapshot of our situation, then we can get a more ideal aspect of really what's going on. And there, to be honest with you, while there is a such thing as American citizen, we have got to become global citizens because as we enter into this new phase, this new world where they're trying to make one world bank, everything is going to be under one regime. We are all using the same money. You know, they're trying to make a national driver's license and become not state anymore, but one national driver's license, things of those nature. So we really have to start thinking, as far as our community, we got to start thinking about global gateways. These people mm-hmm. in the refugees and the migrants that we see, most of them from Ghana, Nigeria, Cameroon, Zambia, and Senegal, were smuggled into Libya by networking a criminal gang on the promise of reaching Europe. They were telling them, hey, that they were going to reach Europe. Again, this is an instant, almost instant repeat of how we were smuggled out of Africa. A lot of our ancestors were smuggled through the Midwest and the Atlantic Passage and taken and brought back into the shores of Jamestown and the North and the East Coast, and some of us were taken down into the Caribbean. So what I'm saying to you is this is history repeating itself, and here's the thing. If we don't learn from history, it's going to repeat itself time and time again. We have to start learning these lessons, and these lessons are coming at the cost of lives.
Yes, it is. It's costing lives here in the United States and global. We've got to connect, like you just said, Bishop Greer, Greg Gira. We have to connect the dots. It just seems awful that African Americans, Black Americans, or Caribbean are hated so. It really is.
Yeah, it is. But one thing that we have to do, Sister Angela, and I appreciate your commentary, by the way, I have to say that, we have to appeal to the organizations, not just to help us, but we have to form our own organizations, and if we're not getting positive responses like we've seen in right now in America out of D.C., African Americans are in danger right now.
We're in danger right now.
We can't go to D.C. and depend upon them for anything. We go to them and ask for anything, and I'm going to tell you, you're wasting your time on a lot of issues. So what I'm saying to you is we have to really start working on organizations, our own situations that will help us.
Here in the United States, we are in danger. We're almost like an endangered species. But we're human beings. We are all endangered, mm-hmm. including me. I mean, with mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., the way it is, it's no real safety. I mean, they show that. I've had a couple of people in my family who have been home recently. It's like 2011. Okay, who've been hung from trees, Alabama and Mississippi. So what I'm trying to say is this is not new to me, the police killing people. That's not new to me because I went to funerals of family members, and this is like 5 or 6 years ago. But what's surprising me is what's happening overseas. It doesn't make much sense. I understand that they murdered their president, beat him to death. But it's like, I don't really know what the answer is. I know the answer is God, but here in the United States, like you said, we are in danger. We are very much in danger. We can't really go to Washington, D.C., and that's scary. We have to turn to each other. And a lot of us don't trust each other.
But here's what you have to understand as well. And if I can say this, Angela, there is a steady climb of the African immigrant population in the United States. And guess what? As they are leaving their national conditions and local conditions, they're going into other communities and making these communities better. I mean, who are the most educated? Let me ask you this: who are the most educated immigrant community?
Who are the most educated immigrants
in the U.S.? Do you know who those are?
Africans.
Nigerians. Nigerians have obtained the highest level of education in the United States, surpassing every other ethnic group in the country. Those are not my words.
That's a very intelligent race of people.
Well, and what I'm saying to you is that's coming from the U.S. Bureau of Census data. I didn't make it up. So what I'm saying to you is that if we look around and emphasize the conversation has to be, we have to connect the dots. We got to stop looking at the Africans and snubbing our nose at them, and they have to stop doing that to us, and we have to see how we can start working together collectively.
Unity. That's what you're talking about, Bishop Greer. You're talking about unity.
Exactly. It's remaking, we are remaking the U.S. black population when we're seeing the level of migrants. 8% of black immigrants come from where else? South or Central America. So we're seeing folks go down to Miami and Florida from
yes.
the Dominican Republic. And I mean, those people, you think those people are Latino, but they are black folks who are integrated into a Latin culture. They're us, to be honest with you. That's why a lot of them, when you look, you can't even tell the difference. And they've been there and they were settled there by the same, they came to the South America and the Caribbean by the same means that we came through slave boats, through slave ships. So, you know, we have to start thinking about that and educating our people about how this immigration piece can be used for not just positive, but for economic means. And we have to, I'm telling you, if we do not connect the dots with the African immigrants, the sub-Saharan African immigrants, the Hispanic immigrants who are Africans from the Caribbean and the South America, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, because they want to put President Trump wants to put a wild look. And we all know the immigrants are not from Mexico or Mexican or Latino. We all know that there are a lot of immigrants that are considered black.
Oh my God! The correct term, like we say, and what I didn't say, and I should have said, it's called African dysphoria. All of these people are coming out of the continent of Mother Africa, and they're settling in communities and nations. But it's all everybody who is of African descent is called African dysphoria around the world.
African dysphoria. Yes, African dysphoria. Thank you. I was getting ready to say that. And I was speaking to African dysphoria. Yes, I'm on a group like that. Mr. Claude Lockhart on African dysphoria. He has
mm-hmm.
a great thing going there.
Mm-hmm.
So, with Washington, D.C. coming back to the United States of America again, being
mm-hmm.
the way it is, with Mr. Trump and the Attorney General Jeff Sessions and all this going on, I personally don't think they're ever going to impeach him. Just, the media, mainstream media, seems like they're in love with him, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my personal opinion. I don't see President Trump being impeached. Do you?
Yeah, well,
here.
You know what? I'm not sure about the question of his impeachment and where that stands, but I will say this about Mr. Trump. If we don't see in our community Mr. Trump as a wake-up call, because here's the thing, Angela, you know, many years ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago, you saw this conservative mindset in our community to where it's people who are right-wing conservative, the ultra-right-wing conservative folks, we call them neocons, right? Have you heard of neocons? Have you heard of that term? Neoconservatives. Okay, so neocons are neoconservatives, and those are the ones who don't believe in, you know, they want everybody to be prosecuted who's black, and they don't care about, you know, the police shooting young black male, and, you know, they're the ones who, you know, when they're, the welfare has to be cut out, and, you know, a lot of things, neoconservative issues are very anti-black, anti-African-American, and a lot of them, some people say, are anti-American. Well, Trump represents that tradition of neoconservatism. And what I'm saying to you is 20, 30 years ago, these conversations that they're having used to take place in back rooms. They didn't have the – now, they're very open and comfortable with talking about these issues in public. I mean, if you can look at when he ran – during the primaries, when he ran, and I mean, how he was, some of the students who were going to his rallies, how he was just saying, beat him in the face and kick him out, and I'll pay your bill. And I mean, you know, these types of things, prior to now, were really, if you did something like that, you were pretty much, you know, you were done. You couldn't run for president of the United States of America with that mindset, but it almost seems so. It doesn't even seem acceptable. It seems like the norm now. You understand?
Yes. Yes, I understand. And it's not, and, you know, it's hard to believe that we have two terms of a black president, who I always will believe has a more of a hard time than someone like Reverend Jesse Jackson or Reverend Al Sharpton, because he had a mother who was Caucasian, white, whatever you prefer. That's what I really believe. That's some of the reason, not all the reason, just being black is enough. You don't have to commit a crime. You don't have to do anything. Just being black is enough to get you mistreated, have your freedom taken, even your life taken here in the United States. So, but I still believe that's some of the reason.
And there are people who have got it worse. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's people right now who have it either just as bad or even worse than us, meaning like the Mexican or the Hispanic folks who basically, you know, the immigration trucks follow them to their schools. They follow them to churches, and they pretty much just pick them up, and they'll check them out and pick them up. If their paperwork is not right, they are on a immigration truck. If it's not that day, if it's a Friday, they're going to be on there, and they're going to be on a plane first thing Monday morning. Is that crazy or not? It should not.
And if you want to get to everybody's immigrants, everybody's an immigrant, including President Trump, because America was not discovered by Columbus. How can you discover something that is already here? Can't discover a country that's already here. That's the biggest lie. That's one of the lies that we were told in history. Columbus did not discover America. America was already here. The Indians and some people even believe they can trace it back and show that black people were Indians too, already here.
There's a school of thought that actually says that. And, you know, I won't debate that, but we will say that henceforth, a lot of the labor that have built this country, not even just America, North America, but the Americas and a lot of Europe, was black and African labor. That was us building these countries. That was us coming. So, I mean, much of the work that shapes our experience, for instance, is done out by us. It was done by us. So I can say from an equitable standpoint, we have a vested interest in America. And I like the school of thought that says that we need to go back to Africa and that sort of thing. Well, I do believe that we need to repatriate, but if we do that, we still need to become global citizens and work connect the dots from America to Africa to the Caribbean. Look, it's not going to get any better. But one of the things that we do know, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back to you, Ms. Angela, is that a third of the world is of color. So, you know, a third of the world,
America is only like, what, 5%, 6% of the world?
Euro.
United States of America,
of Euro.
Of Euro, yeah.
Hey, look. Of color, we say it of color.
Of color.
You know, we have the Middle Eastern folks. We have a lot of different variations of dark tones. So what I'm saying to you is that what Trump and those folks who are like him are trying to hold on to is a paradigm from 40, 50, 60 years ago, starting off and more, that says that a world is European, and that European thought process has gotten us into so much trouble, and it's disappearing. So, you know, they have to get rid of that thought process, because it's not going to go back.
We're not going back. I'm not going back to being a slave. We're not going back. That's right. I'm sorry what's happening in Libya. I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous here.
It's Libya. It's Libya. Like Libya soup. Libya.
Thank you. But no, I'm not going back to being a slave. I'm not going back 500 years. 600 years, I'm not going back to that.
Unless they give us 40 acres of the mill, you give me 40 acres of the mill, and I might consider going back.
40 acres and a mill. Not a mill, a million. Okay. 40 acres and a million. You mean 40 acres and a mule, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said mule.
M-U-L-E, mule.
Okay.
That's my Chicago That's my Chicago accent.
Okay. All right. I just want to say for people here in Florida, the following I have in, here in Florida, we all know about David Duke. Speaking of backwoods, not backwoods, but backroom conversations, he ran for president in 1988, and that was the year I graduated from high school, and he didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for senator. I'm telling you, the white people here seem to believe that America's their safe haven. That because it's their safe haven to do all kinds of things. But I still do not believe that they could get away with the things in the rest of the world, the third, you know, since we're third of the population here in the United States, people of color are. I still don't believe the Americans here, the white Americans here in the United States, get away with half of 90% of what they get away with here in other parts of the world. I don't believe it.
Yeah. Well, they don't, honestly, and I'm just going to be honest with you, because a third of the world doesn't take that. I mean, and this is not a racist statement, and I'm not a racist by far, by any means.
But
we have to say that, do you know, Angela, that there's a lot of areas and segments in around the world where Euros cannot go. I mean, if you have a blonde hair and blue eyes, you can't walk down some streets in the Middle East. You can't do it. And you know, I'm not saying that is a, you know, something that is good or bad. I don't believe in alienation of anybody, because we've seen alienation firsthand and we've dealt with it all our lives. But to clarify exactly who bears responsibility for these kind of acts coming, well, you know, Minister Malcolm X, Malik al-Shabazz, said it very clearly. A lot of this can be summed up as a case of the chickens coming home to roost.
Okay. All right.
So we have to think about.
Said mischief. That,
what's that?
White American cop. He was just saying mischief. Mischief. They cause mischief, bloodshed. They keep up mischief. I'm just quoting Minister Louis Farrakhan from YouTube. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So come on, sir. Go on. We have a few minutes.
So we have to just consider our grievances. We have to consider in the next phase of where we're at as a community, as a global community, people from Atlanta, you know, people from Chicago, some of the big metropolitan areas. We have to figure on ways how we can come together and unionize and organize on a larger scale. And we have to work on not just a regional basis, but we got to work on a national and international level, because over the last 8 years, you've seen overruled precedents. You know, they tried to peel back the Obamacare, the medical care that was for everybody. They've tried to pull back, you know, you're seeing a HUD housing change. You're seeing seniors' rights change. Those things are affecting our community in mass numbers. And I tell you, if we really start looking at these things, then we'll see. And I mean, more scary is Trump is trying to make our situation as a community, he's trying to make it a military state, meaning he has control of the police and even the military, you know, and now at his demand, they go in and cause havoc in communities, and that's happening as well. So what I'm saying to you is, we are seeing the consequences of the last election from these different promises that these neoconservatives, they are putting in place who they wanted to put into place, and instead of draining the swamp, Trump seems to be trying to drown America and all of us with it. We got to stop him. We got to stop this thought process, this neoconservative, Eurocentric WASP thought process, and we got to start thinking in terms of what is good for our community.
Yes, because that's what's going to happen, especially if you're going to stay here in the United States of America. We've got to get smarter. We've got to get smarter, because the media, you know, may seem like they're for you, but they're really not. They're exploiting, but they're also getting the truth out there. The truth, and President Trump, Mr. Trump, is a racist. I don't think he's crazy, though. I don't think he's there. I just think he's full of hate, racist. He believes that whites are superior. Just from my point of view, that's what I'm looking for, looking at things from that white people are superior, which I deal with those type of people all day long. I can't go into the store. Well, I'm at here in Florida without seeing the racists. And they're always smiling. You know, people say, have a saying about this little area I'm from, that they got everything on lockdown.
Well,
I'm not a racist. The reason I say I'm not a racist is because I have no power to hold anyone back or to discriminate. I don't have that power, but I'm not in a position. And that's why I really hate racism. I really do, because it's unfair, and that way of thinking is so warped, immoral. I'm using somebody else's words. They call racism immoral. Not just fornication,
yeah.
Not just sex without marriage, not adultery, not stealing, but also immoral to hate someone, to want to eradicate an entire world of people, or control an entire world of people because they're dark. That's immoral to God. But that's my point of view.
Yeah, well, no one ever said that hate was reasonable. No one ever said that hate was made sense. You know, we never said that hate was something that, you know, is a tool and a resource for some people who want to use it to their benefit, and that's pretty much what we know of hate. There's really no rationale behind it, except a lot of times people have a secondary agenda, and they want to carry out that agenda through different means, and one of the ways that they do it is through hate. So what I'm saying is that, you know, going back into, you know, even going back into where you live, you know, Georgia's been a red state, conservative state for many. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. You're close. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, you're closer. I do that all the time. I do that to you. I want to put you in Georgia for some reason.
Because I love Atlanta. I love Fulton County.
Well, you know,
like,
hey, listen,
there.
I can still say the same thing about Florida. Conservatism is, you know, it's been pretty much a rough road down there for people of color.
Yes,
and, you know,
yes, Lord, yeah, it's always been a rough road. It's about as bad as Mississippi. And Alabama used to be. Yeah, Florida is.
Yeah.
You know, people think Disney World. And me and my family have a joke. You come to, you visit Florida on vacation and stay on probation.
Oh, God.
They
I mean,
so
I lived in Florida. I lived in Florida, but.
To be black here.
Yeah.
It's hard. I've tried to be an entrepreneur for years. It's hard in Florida. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. I'm in Northwest Florida, the Panhandle. Prejudice, good Lord.
Yeah, you have to navigate through that politically conservative geography of Florida, and it takes a lot.
Politically conservative, you just don't know, sir. You just don't know. The police come into people's houses without warrants still here.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But the good thing that we see, let me just say this real quick, is you see like
you
in down in
a lot.
Yeah, but let me say this. You see this down in Miami. There's three Haitian banks down there, and you know you see the influx of immigrants who are working down there from you know, the Caribbean and all of that. They're doing things. They're using economic empowerment, and you know I think that move and those moves can be, you know, can be moves that we can recreate around the country.
Yeah, that's one thing America understands, money. That's why when people sue for discrimination, we were talking, when you sue for discrimination, the only thing the enemy understands is hitting them in the pocket.
Yeah.
People still sue for discrimination still, race discrimination still, disability discrimination. Discrimination is discrimination for me. I've even been spit on, so I'm not going to go into that. This was back in 2000. But what I like to say is I like some AJC.com. This was posted on December 19th. Three former Washington County deputies are indicted for murder.